But the children of Israel had committed a trespass regarding the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people, for the people of Ai are few." Ai was a small city, small name, small city. And then verse 4 tells us that about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. They had just conquered a mighty city with strong fortified walls, and now here is a small town with a few people, and Ai sent them running like whipped puppies. They had failed. Why had they failed? Why was Israel defeated? What is the key to constant and perpetual victory? What happened here? Well, I want you to use your imagination for just a moment with me. I want you to think about the fact that Israel was encamped all around the city of Jericho. And the walls had come down. There was a lot of debris of columns and bricks and stone scattered all over the place. It was a dark night, but the moon was very bright. And a man by the name of Ai, who lives in one of the tents, comes to the tent door, and he realizes it's very quiet this time of the morning. Everybody's asleep. Nothing is stirring. So he leaves his tent and works his way through the rubble and goes into the heart of the city to the marketplace. And he's looking around and he sees a bag with the top open. And he looks a little closer from the brightness of the moon and he sees something and he reaches down and pulls it out and it's silver. Pure silver. 200 shekels of silver. Then he looks back down in the bag again and he sees some cheese. But it's not cheese. It's gold. It's a wedge of gold. 50 shekels of gold. Imagine, if you will, this soldier thinking, on the meager wages that I earn, I've never held this much money in my life in my hands. Imagine what he might have been thinking. He thinks to himself, "I can live a long time on this amount of money." And he's thinking the things he can do with it. "I can get a flat screen TV. I can put this amount down on a new house. I can get a new car. Maybe I can get more powerful internet." He's thinking, "I can live on this a long time." He looks again, and in the bottom of the bag, he sees an ornament on a garment. And he reaches down and pulls it out and he shakes the dust off. He says, "This is a garment from Babylon. It's exquisite." And he picks it up and he says, "This is fine material and I really think my wife would enjoy this." He closes the bag and carefully, silently makes his way back to the tent. He pulls up his bedroll and he digs down and he buries the silver and the gold and the garment. covers it back up, and he tries to go to sleep, and he's smiling, and he says, I have done it. I've done it. And the thing about it is that nobody has seen me. And he was right. Almost. Almost. There was one who had seen the whole thing. And that was Almighty God from the throne of heaven. What had he done? He had committed a terrible trespass. Well, you say, after all, it was a victory, and the spoils go to the victory, to the victor. That's right. But in this case, it was God's victory. And to God go the spoils. He had taken the accursed thing, and he had buried it in his tent. Go back to chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers who were sent. And you by all means abstain from the accursed thing, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. These things, folks, belong to God. They were His. Israel, who should have gone from victory to victory to victory, was defeated. Now, I want us to look at this passage in its context and apply some principles that I hope will be etched upon your heart. And the first one is that sometimes great victories are often followed by great defeats. What caused this defeat? Well, there are two categories of people who sinned that day. Israel had sinned. And Achan had sinned. So what was Israel's sin? Israel's sin was carelessness. How was this carelessness shown? Well, when they sent out reconnaissance, the men went to see Ai, and they came back and they said, we don't need to pray. We don't need to seek God's will. We don't need a spiritual plan. We've done it before, and we can do it again. We don't need many people to go up to this city. Don't send a whole army to overtake these people. You only need to send 2,000 or 3,000 people, and that should be sufficient. They are so insignificant compared to Jericho. You can see from their total defeat of Jericho that there was pride in their hearts. Pride in their hearts. The Bible says, pride goeth before a fall, and the haughty spirit before destruction. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, therefore let him that thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Folks, what about us? As we think of this story, we think and apply it to our own selves. Do we sometimes have this same attitude? We're Americans. We don't need God. We don't need God's help. We can do it ourselves. We have the ability to accomplish anything we want to do with our talents. How many times have you known of, even our brethren, who have decided to go their own way, and that's okay, and they don't need God's counsel, they don't need God's guidance, because we're self-sufficient. Folks, you know, if you're faithful to God, that God's way works. It works. If we would just give heed to it, it works. And we need to give God, let God give us counsel through His Word. But what about Achan? What was his sin? Achan's sin was covetousness. Look at Joshua 7,
verses 19 through 21. Now Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him. And tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them." My marginal note said, "I desired them," or "He took them, I desired them, and there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it." If carelessness was Israel's sin, covetousness was Achan's sin. The Greek word plexonia is a Greek word, and it means the one who has an ungodly desire for something that belongs to another, a desire to have more and more. And what greediness does, it can lead to stealing and jealousy and envy. And Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5 that covetousness is idolatry because we make that sin our God. Sin of covetousness. We should not be out to give. We should be out to give our neighbor because we love him and not take from him. Bible says, "Be content with such things as you have." What a lesson I think that I can use and all of us can probably use. Brethren, did you pick up on what Achan did when he was tempted? "I saw, I desired, and I took." That, brethren, is temptation's route into the life of a Christian and a non-Christian. And folks, that's not nearly how temptation works. It's exactly how temptation works. "I saw." He thought about how this would benefit him or be of pleasure to him. "I desired, I wanted it for myself, and I took. Now I can satisfy my lusts, and I can satisfy my own wants." That's the route that temptation takes every single time. The next step Achan took, when he took possession of what God's was, that he hid it. And Achan said, "There they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of the tent, and the silver under it." Folks, that's the worst thing of all. To hide, to cover it up, to say it never happened. This may not be something that you or I want to talk about, because maybe some of you may have something in your tent, in your heart, in your life, where you have buried some unclean thing. The worst thing of all is that you hide it, find an alibi, deny it, or to excuse it, to keep it hidden. So he digs down into the earth to hide it and hide what he had done. Are we doing that today? Are we doing that today in our own lives? Some sin that we just do not want to give up, and we think we're hiding it from God. A sin that has not been confessed, a sin that's not repented of, that we're trying to hide, to think we're keeping it from God. I'll tell you this. Achan could have dug down to the center of the core of the earth where molten lava is, and he could never have hidden that sin from God, no matter how deep he went. And yet he tried. Now put it down. Many times your greatest defeat is going to come after your greatest victory. If you begin to coast or take your eyes off of the Lord or get presumptuous or fail to be satisfied with God's way, that's where the trouble comes. But the second principle here is that private sin is never really private. Private sin is never really private. The Bible calls this thing Achan took the accursed thing. Why? Because the curse of God is upon sin. And sin that is hidden will bring you to ruin and keep you from that unbroken victory that we're talking about, that God wants you to have. Listen, if you're bound to sin, you're bound to suffer. You remember another occasion that Joshua, when they went into the land of Canaan, 2.5 tribes stayed on the eastern side of the Jordan. They preferred that land. And Joshua said, look, if you don't come and fight with your brethren to take the land of Canaan, your sins will find you out. Brethren, isn't that so? Your sins will find you out. Isn't it true that our sin will come back to bite us? But with that sin, you're not going to suffer alone. No man lives unto himself, and no man dies unto himself. Your sin, my friend, will affect other people. Private sin is never really private. Look at chapter 7, verses 8 and 9 of the book of Joshua. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? Joshua said, we're disgraced. We're defeated. Do we care enough about the name of God in our lives to glorify and honor Him each day? If there is hidden sin in your life, you're going to bring disgrace against God. And that's why David said, against thee, God, against thee, and thee only have I sinned. You know, you may sin against another person, but first and foremost, that sin is against God. It's against Him. Sin brings disgrace and dishonor to God. But I'll tell you what else it does. It brings defeat to your brothers. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 of chapter 7. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they had become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Don't tell me that what I do is none of your business. Don't tell me that what you do is none of our business. Folks, we're all in this together. And when your heart is not right with God, when there is an unrepented sin, you bring dishonor to God. You bring defeat to your brothers and sisters. Because when one of the members suffer, we all suffer with him. When one of our members rejoice, we all rejoice with him. We are in this together. And one drop of poison hurts the whole body. But he also brought disgrace to his family. Chapter 7, verse 1. The children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took the accursed thing. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. God was not happy with this entire nation because of this. It brought destruction to his loved ones. Look at chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned him with fire after they had stoned him with stones. Somebody says, that's not fair. That's not fair that God would destroy everything and leave absolutely no vestige of anything that Achan had or owned. The point is that folks' private sin is never really private. It affects other people. But here's the third principle. Every sin that you cover, God will uncover. Every sin that you cover, God will uncover. Chapter 7, verse 16 through 19. So Joshua rose early in the morning, brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Then he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. Now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. Folks, if one sin goes unconfessed, unrepented of, Satan is the conqueror. He is the winner. Every sin that you try to cover, God will uncover. Joshua says, give glory to God. Give glory to God. But it was not for Achan to receive mercy. Achan received no mercy. He was stoned. All his family, all of his animals were stoned. And every vestige of what he had was gone. There was ultimate retribution of that sin. Here is a man who was judged, put to death. The wages of sin is death. Newspaper had a motto that said, if you don't want it printed, don't let it happen. And that's pretty much true, isn't it? Every sin that you cover, God will uncover, and it will be revealed. But last of all, and I love this, every sin that you uncover, God will cover. I want you to imagine a scene that did not happen. I want you to see Achan as he plants all of that spoil in his tent. He plants all of that under his bedroll, digs enough holes that all of it is there, and he tries to sleep. And then somewhere during the night he comes to himself and says, oh me, oh my, what have I done? How could I have been this foolish? Wife, wake up. Children, wake up. Pray. Look what we've done. How can we have done such a thing? Dig up this and give it to me. Where is Joshua's tent? He goes to Joshua's tent and says, Joshua, wake up. Get up. Joshua, look what we've done. I have been so very foolish. God said not to do this, and I've done it. Joshua, here's the silver. Here's the gold. Here's that beautiful garment that I took. Pray for me, Joshua. I've sinned against God. Joshua, let's go get an animal and make a sacrifice to God. I need to be forgiven. Proverbs 28 and verse 13 says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Would God have forgiven Achan? As he knew that he had made a mistake, he had taken the cursed thing, he buried it in his tent, he was going to use it for his own gain. Would God have forgiven him if he had taken that tack? I dare say that absolutely he would have. Justice is God giving us what we deserve. But we don't need justice. We don't want justice. If we do, we're in a heap of trouble. Brethren, what we want and what we need, because we're all condemned, is mercy. And thank God, because of His abundant mercy, He has saved us by His grace. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. That's salvation, that's the gift, not faith. It's a gift of God. And what a blessing it is to know that God will forgive us. If we will uncover that sin, He'll cover it. He'll make atonement for it. That's exactly why we just celebrated this Lord's Supper, because we remember what Jesus has done for us on the cross. He has provided an atonement and a propitiation to appease the wrath of Almighty God. He that covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Let's go back to where we started. Unbroken victory is what I stated at the beginning. That's God's plan. It's God's plan for you, and it's God's plan for me. And the key to unbroken victory is not perfection. It is continued, perpetual confession, keeping your heart right where there is no unconfessed sin, no private sin, no buried sin, no sin that we have tried to hide. I believe it's true, folks, that great victories are sometimes followed by great defeats. That private sin is never, ever really private at all. That every sin that you cover, God's going to uncover that. Your sins will find you out. But every sin that you uncover, God will cover it. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 7 and 8, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. My friends, your sins can be covered in our day, not by animal sacrifices, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, who died once for all time, and there is no need for any other. To come to Him, we must come to Him in humble repentance, confessing, not under our breath, but publicly acknowledging Him as the Son of the living God. And then to be united with Him in the watery grave, to come in contact with His precious blood. There's a fountain. There's a fountain that's free. Just for you and me. Let us haste. Oh, haste to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above. And He bids us all freely drink. Do you want to drink of that fountain? I hope you do, because it's the source of our forgiveness. It's the source of our eternal life, and it comes only through and by Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way. There's no other name, Peter said, under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ.